In 2007, the state of Iowa allowed casinos to move from riverboats to land. And since that time, several communities across the state have sought a piece of the casino action. But how many is too many? This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This hour, we'll be joined by a number of guests, including Jeff Lamberti of the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission. We'll look at current casino proposals in Warren County, that's in south-central Iowa, also Linn County in eastern Iowa. Also, we'll talk about why communities like Davenport and Sioux City are in the process of moving their casinos from riverboats to land. Join our conversation about casinos in Iowa after this news. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. And, of course, all eyes and ears focused on developments in Boston today, the manhunt continuing for one of the suspected bombers. Noting that at 1 p.m. we'll be going to live special coverage from NPR. No Science Friday today because of the developments. Live coverage of developments in Boston at 1 o'clock. And this hour we're continuing with our planned discussion about casinos. If there's a significant development in Boston, we will let you know. Well, in 2007, the state of Iowa allowed casinos to move from the rivers, from riverboats, to land-based facilities, if you remember. And since that time, there has been somewhat of a casino boom in Iowa, communities across the state wanting to get in on the lucrative casino action. In this hour, we're taking a look specifically at four casino cases, proposals, at various stages in the state. And joining us, first of all, Jeff Lamberti, back to the program, chairman of the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission in our Des Moines studio. Welcome back, Jeff Lamberti.
Thanks. Good to be here.
I wonder if we could start off, before we get into the individual four cases we're looking at, by give us a short history of the development of casinos in Iowa. It all kicked off in 1989. Iowa becomes the first state to legalize riverboat gambling, right?
Right. And of course, back then it was limited to riverboats. So obviously the locations were somewhat limited in the state of Iowa. And we also had restrictions on how much you could gamble, those kind of things. And we've over the years evolved a lot to where now we're mostly moving to land-based casinos, which are entertainment destinations much more than just a floating casino as we had back in the days of riverboats.
Mm-hmm. In 2007, the state eliminated the requirement that casinos be floating. And I'm looking on a map at iowacasinos.com, and I see, close to 20 casinos in Iowa, is that right?
Yeah, I believe we regulate 18, and then we have, I believe it's three Indian-operated casinos as well.
Okay. A theme for this hour will be cannibalization in regards to casinos, and it's something that you deal with there because it's something you would want to avoid. That is that one casino being built and eating into the business? Or how do you define cannibalization, first of all, because it will be a theme throughout the hour?
Yeah, and where it comes into play is if we think about issuing new licenses, which is obviously something that's in play right now with a referendum passing in Linn County, one coming up in Warren County. It's not so much an issue with existing facilities, but with new licenses. We look at what the impact is on those that we've already licensed. And the reason that's important, and sometimes people don't understand, is in Iowa, you know, it's a regulated industry, and we've encouraged people to invest. You know, they can be $80, $100, $150 million facilities based on the model we have in Iowa. It's not just an unfettered, you can put a casino anywhere. We're not Las Vegas. And so because we've encouraged people to spend that kind of money on the casinos, when we consider new licenses, one of the specific factors we have to look at is how much of the revenue of that new casino will be taken from existing casinos. There's no magic number that says if it's 10%, 20%, 30%, that's left to the discretion of the Racing and Gaming Commission, which, quite frankly, puts us in a difficult position, but I guess that's our job. But it really comes into play as we look at these new proposals for new licenses.
Right, because let's take the Linn County proposal. There's no way that if that casino is built, it won't eat into the Riverside Casino's revenues, right?
Yeah, it'll eat into Riverside, I believe also Isle and Waterloo, and to a lesser extent, Dubuque. So what we will do as part of our process is the Racing and Gaming Commission will commission a study or studies of the market to try to determine what the impact on those other facilities would be. It's not a situation where if it has an impact, we would reject it. It's just a matter we have to get a handle on how large that impact is so that we can make an informed decision.
Okay, very good. Let's move on to our four cases here and invite our listeners. If you live in or around one of the communities we're looking at today, what is your view of casinos in Iowa? Do you live in a casino community? Has it benefited your community? And how many is too many? That's the question behind cannibalization that we were just talking about. And Jeff Lamberti, chairman of the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission, as we march through, you accompany us along, and please do point out, jump in to point out anything that you think is significant that we might skip over. Let's go to Warren County in south central Iowa. As you mentioned, a referendum to be held there in May 7th, I believe, in Warren County to determine whether the county will allow a casino to be built. If that referendum passes, it doesn't automatically mean that Warren County will build the casino. The next step would be for the Gaming and Racing Commission to approve Warren County for a casino license. Let's talk with Susan Geddes, who is in our Des Moines studio. Susan is a consultant for the Warren County Citizens for Good Jobs. This is an organization behind the push for a casino in Warren County. Susan, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
Give us the pitch. Why do you think a casino would do well in Warren County?
Well, I'll tell you, when I first started looking at this issue, it was with the intent of actually speaking out against the casino. And what I ended up doing was just gathering information void of input from either side. And I discovered that this would be a really good thing for our county because of the revenue that it would bring in. A lot of our events for conferences and conventions and things go outside our county because we really have no place to host those. And our schools and our roads and our infrastructures and our little towns are in need. So the revenues from this project would do our county a lot of good.
Susan, how much revenue would you figure here?
Sorry, I've got to find my notes.
Yeah, approximately. I know a lot of stats here involved. Sure.
There are. We're looking at. I'll just give you some of the city estimates for some of our smaller towns. Carlisle, for instance, could expect to get about $262,000. The mayor of Hartford told me the other day the $52,000 that they're expecting to get from the revenues generated would double their would double what they currently have. So they'd be getting about $52,000. Mm-hmm. And those are funds that a lot of these little towns, Lacona would get $24,000, could help with their fire departments, could help upgrade the potholes in their roads and the things that they have to put off.
Right. Now, Jeff Lamberti mentioned just a few minutes ago about how casinos these days have evolved into be much more than places to gamble. So what would you expect your facility would include in addition to gambling?
Well, we are going to have a bowling alley, which is something Warren County has not had for quite a few years, a convention center, which we do not have, a 150-room hotel, and
Where do people for conventions go in your area, if not to your county?
Well, they need to head up to Des Moines for that.
Okay.
So there are hotels that, some of the larger hotels where some of the smaller conventions are held. But those revenues could come back into our county, and that's why I'm supporting this project.
Okay. Jeff Lamberti, what criteria specific to this project will the commission consider for Warren County?
Well,
if the referendum passes on May 7th.
Yeah, much like we're looking at in Linn County, the overriding issue that we have to address is how much of the revenue is new and how much comes from existing facilities. In Warren County, we're really looking at the impact on Lakeside Casino, which is in Osceola, and then also Prairie Meadows, which is here in central Iowa in Polk County. When we look at other things, we're obviously concerned about the size of the facility, the amenities, because those are big in terms of what we're trying to do now. And the proposals I've seen for both Linn County and Warren County, I don't think the commission would have any trouble with what they're proposing from a facility standpoint. They've got good amenities, hotels, restaurants, those kind of things. But the big thing that we have to address with those two particular applications is going to be the impact on the existing facilities. It's far and away the most important issue that we have to address.
Mm-hmm. Susan Geddes, you said originally you started out being, well, I guess against a casino in Warren County. After gathering information, you changed your mind. I want to have you tell us, what were the specters, the phantoms, the dark side of the casino that you had imagined that your research seemed to have cleared up?
Well, part of the problem that I was looking at was, you know, just the general crime that you hear goes on around a casino. One of the things I did is I spoke with quite a few police officers out in Altoona, Emmitsburg, asked them what has happened with their crime in their cities. Now, Altoona has a growing population, but they haven't had necessarily any crime generated from the casino. Now, one of the things a lot of folks don't realize is that DCI agents have to be employed by a casino to take care of in-house things, and you know, that's taken care of on site if there are anything. So they run good operations, and the other things is that we would have a lot of people go bankrupt, that we would have families en masse be destroyed, and that's just not a statistic that can be backed up.
Jeff Lamberti, what can you say about any connection, if there is one, between casino towns and crime?
So far, actually, there's been several studies done, and the legislature actually had a socioeconomic study done. It's been several years now, but there's not a real direct correlation between crime and casinos. And I think part of that does get to the fact that we regulate these. When we get appointed to the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission, the governor asks one thing, and that's for us to maintain the integrity of gaming in Iowa. If we're going to have it, we're going to be fair and honest and controlled. And we do have DCI agents at all of our facilities, and so it's not really been an issue of crime. The fact of the matter is, when you have gambling, there is a certain percentage of the population that it is subject to being problem gamblers. What we found is it's a very stable number, and it really hasn't increased with the number of facilities. And we try to address those issues by exclusions, lifetime exclusions, treatment. But we haven't seen a lot of negative crime aspects coming out of gambling in Iowa.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it true that some of the revenues, a slice of that pie, does go towards problem gambling addiction?
That's right. And I think our casinos have done a pretty good job of trying to be proactive on some of the other issues, you know, to keep that from becoming a huge problem.
Susan Geddes, tell me, do you think the May 7th referendum will pass?
I do. I think it will. We have a lot of support. There is a small group in Norwalk that is opposing this, but
what are the chief arguments you're having to face there?
Well, placement of the facility. There's some misunderstanding on exactly where that's going to be. Who's going to pay for the infrastructure? Will the taxpayers get stuck with the bill for any part of the casino? And, you know, then it's next to the airport, so the height of the building, which Wild Rose has already discussed with airport officials, and they realize they're going to need to lower the building. But the 150 rooms will still stay intact. It will just be spread out over a lower building. So. Mm-hmm.
There was a study, back to the cannibalization aspect. Wasn't there a study Warren County Citizens for Good Jobs commissioned on cannibalization for the Warren County Casino?
I am not aware of that.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Let's see. Thank you, Susan Geddes, and we'll be looking forward to covering the results of that referendum in Warren County. Susan Geddes, consultant for Warren County Citizens for Good Jobs, the organization behind the push for a casino in Warren County. Next on our docket, we're looking at cases this hour, various casinos in stages of proposal around Iowa. We want you to join our conversation. Perhaps we're talking about a community you live in or around, and you would like to ask a question or give a view. And let's go to Linn County now in eastern Iowa. On March 5th, if you remember, a referendum was held in which voters in Linn County overwhelmingly approved casino gaming for Linn County, over 60% approval, I believe. Joining me in the Iowa City studio, Todd Dorman, columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Hi, Todd.
Hey.
And full disclosure, Todd Dorman is the husband of our executive producer, Catherine Perkins. Bring us up to date. What has happened in, I guess, that approximately 6 weeks since the March 5th approval for the casino?
Well, the investor group that's hoping to build the casino is starting to put together its proposal. This week, they sent their letter to the city of Cedar Rapids to formally request the purchase of 7.5 acres, I believe, of city-owned land downtown on the west side of the Cedar River. And the casino would go on that, on part of that land, and then there would be a sky bridge across First Avenue, which is the main road through Cedar Rapids. And then there would be a parking garage built on the other side of that. It would be, I think it's about 150,000 square foot facility that they're planning. Because it's near the river, they're planning maybe
some... But the plan sort of morphed into something larger, didn't it?
Yeah.
Why was
originally,
that?
I think it was about 120,000 square feet, and I think they've added 130,000 since they've started to kind of formalize what sort of amenities they want to put in there. I think there are like 3 restaurants, sports bar, 1,000 slot machines, 25 table games. So I think it was a matter of once they started taking their plans and making, you know, sort of drawing up the way it was going to look, that they needed more space than what they anticipated before.
Now, it was casino investor Steve Gray who led the movement to bring a casino, has led it to Linn County. Will he be the casino operator? How will that work?
He's the lead investor. There are about 60 investors, and I think they'll hire a company that knows how to run casinos. They'll hire an operator, which every one of the casinos in Iowa has an operator. Mm-hmm. And that process is probably ongoing. I'm not sure exactly who their shortlist is at this point.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, and you remind us of this story because it was Dan, is it Keel, who was the president and CEO of the Riverside Casino down in Washington County, a couple clicks to the south, who unsuccessfully helped fund a campaign to defeat this Linn County casino measure. Remind us of what Dan Keel did to dissuade a yes vote on the referendum, because it's really telling in this talk about cannibalization.
Well, he donated or spent a lot of the money on the Just Say No campaign in Linn County. And then as that campaign was a pretty short campaign, January to the March 5th referendum. And the Friday before the vote, he held a press conference and said that if the referendum was voted down, he would build a water park on the same land where the casino is being planned now. That was a last minute twist, and I'm not sure it got many votes, but it was a situation where I guess they must have been seeing polling that showed that they were losing, and maybe that was a last ditch attempt to try to turn the tide, but obviously it didn't work, and it was a 61-39 vote, which was wider than a lot of us thought.
Where is Jeff Lamberti, where is the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission in the process of deciding whether or not to grant Linn County a casino license?
We have to put in place next, and we're actually working on those as we go. The first thing is we actually will have to come up with a deadline for submission of applications. It's kind of interesting to note that even though we have a particular group that did all of the work to get the referendum passed under Iowa law, they don't get the exclusive right to submit an application for a casino in Linn County. Yeah. That doesn't mean I expect to have more than one, but technically we then have to set a deadline. So we will look to be setting a deadline. Not exactly sure when that date will be. It'll be sometime after July, and that's because we don't have our next meeting until June, and plus we need to build enough time for them. At the same time, we are starting to work on the RFP that would be necessary for us to hire some people to do the studies in that county. Now, we actually want to see the exact proposal, and I know that group is getting pretty close to being very specific, because the more information we have, the better our study will be. And so we'll kind of go down a simultaneous path for now, and we'll set a deadline for applications. We'll start to go out and look for people to do the study, and we'll commission the study. And then sometime after we get the study back is when we'll ultimately make a decision. My guess is we're probably looking at an 8 to 12 month process.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and as you said before, and in this case, I assume that the cannibalization, the fact that we can look to a Linn County casino drawing in new revenues, not just eating them away from other casinos, is your number one here?
Yeah, it has to be, just because of, as I said, the way the system is in Iowa. We don't expect our facilities to be nonprofit enterprises or to lose money, and we encourage them to invest lots of money. And I think both Riverside and Isle Waterloo are over $100 million facilities. And so, we just can't get around the fact that our number one issue is how much is going to be new revenue, how much is going to come away from existing facilities. And until we do the studies, we really don't know what that is.
Okay, before the break, let's get in a call, maybe perhaps another question after that. Andy is in Fort Dodge with us. Andy, what are you thinking as you listen to this conversation?
Good afternoon. My question would be regarding the cannibalization. In a capitalistic free market society, if a gas station wants to open up next door to another gas station, that's obviously a risk that the potential owner is willing to take. When it comes to casinos, why does the state have such an interest in cannibalization of another casino if a investing group thinks that they have the draw power with the amenities, more bang for your buck, so to speak? Why does the state seem to want to take interest in that?
Got your point, Andy. Survival of the fittest, capitalism. Why doesn't that apply in its purest form here, Jeff Lamberti?
Well, because unfortunately that's not the system the Iowa legislature set up when they approved gambling in Iowa. They could have. We certainly could have had a system that said, you know, we'll consider all applicants, all areas. We would have a much different system than what we have right now. We'd have casinos all over the place, and they wouldn't be $100 million facilities with lots of amenities. They would be $5 and $10 million gambling halls, much like we see in some other states. As a regulator, you know, I don't really care which way the legislature chose to go, but in Iowa they chose to go the route that we have, where it's a regulated industry, where we do look to competition. And part of that is also based on our structure of having the nonprofit partner with the operator, because we believe there's a significant benefit. So, you know, they could have set up a different system, but it's not the system that we have. And as a result of that, we've encouraged fewer facilities with a much larger investment.
Okay, stay with us, please. Jeff Lamberti is a chair of the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission. I want to thank Todd Dorman, columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, for giving us a picture of what's happening in Linn County as far as casino developments. Thank you, Todd.
Thanks.
And also Susan Geddes, if you're still on the in Des Moines, thank you very much for giving us the picture from Warren County and the push there. When we come back in just a moment, we'll continue our discussion about gambling in Iowa, turning to the far northwest, the Sioux City, Woodbury County. We'll talk about the vote there yesterday. We'll talk about how that was awarded a license to Sioux City Entertainment. Also, all the way over to the east side of the state, Davenport. We'll find out what's been happening there in terms of gambling. Want to mention that at 1 o'clock, NPR is not feeding Science Friday. They will be providing special coverage of the situation in Boston. That coming up in about a half hour. And we'll tell you if there are significant developments before that. But in the meantime, we're going to talk about casinos. Continue with that conversation. Jeff Lamberti with me. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. Back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. I'm on a day when all eyes and ears are towards Boston. We're talking about casinos, but we will be joining live coverage. No feed of Science Friday. No program this Friday. NPR with live coverage at 1 o'clock. So you'll want to stay tuned for an update on developments throughout the afternoon, beginning at 1 here on Iowa Public Radio. Today we're talking on River to River about our history of casinos here in Iowa. It's been a nearly quarter century history. In 1989, Iowa became the first state to legalize riverboat gambling, another significant milestone. In 2007, the state eliminating the requirement for these casinos to be floating, to be on riverboats. And currently some 18 to 20 casinos here in Iowa. We're talking about four cases We're seeing some movement, seeing some change in going to. And so let's go to talk to Josh, who is in, is it Belmont or Belmond, Josh?
Belmond.
Belmond, hi. And you're listening to a first half hour of our program. You have a question for Jeff Lamberti, I believe.
Yeah, and maybe Todd can answer this as well. But is my understanding that the reason why we have casinos in Iowa and all over is that they were supposed to help rural areas and economically depressed communities like Dubuque and Waterloo and other places. But now it seems like it's spreading out to all sorts of different places, I guess. Is that still the standard for considering casino licenses?
Thank you, Josh.
Well, I think originally when you saw it, it was strictly limited to riverboats. And so obviously the areas where you were going to have those facilities were primarily going to be on the Missouri and the Mississippi. And I'm not so sure that it was originally designed specifically for more economically depressed areas at that time. Actually, there was a big component of education in terms of where the revenue to the state was supposed to go from gambling. But what I would say is, do we look or would we look as a commission to the economic impact of having a facility in a particular area? Absolutely. That is a criteria, what the overall economic impact is going to be on those communities when we make a decision. And it's interesting, if you look at Iowa, you've got gambling facilities in some of our larger cities, but then you do have an interesting mix of smaller communities that also have been able to take advantage of having gaming in Iowa and have facilities. Dubuque, I wouldn't necessarily put on the smaller side, but it's kind of a medium size. You've got Clinton, Emmitsburg, Burlington, so that there is a mix of where these facilities are located, and a lot of it is based on market share, and some of it's the historical riverboat side.
Okay, Josh, thank you for that call from Belmont. And let's look to the far northwest part of the state. Yesterday, in a 3-2 vote, the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission awarded a casino license to Sioux City Entertainment. It's going to build a Hard Rock Casino. The over $118 million project in downtown Sioux City. It beat out three other land-based bids. Joining us to help paint the picture of what's coming to Sioux City is Dave Dreesen. He is a business editor for the Sioux City Journal. Dave, welcome to our program.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How would you describe the mood in the community after this license award?
Well, seeing that it was a competitive situation, obviously there's people very, very happy about the decision and some others not so happy. So we'll guess we'll see. But I would say in general, people are glad to see, such a major development being headed our way for the downtown area and see a lot of potential for growth moving forward in the coming years.
Jeff Lamberti of the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission, why did this Hard Rock proposal win over the three others?
Well, first of all, it was a very difficult decision because we had four very, very good proposals, and we spent a lot of time studying them. And that's part of the reason you saw a 3-2 vote, because they were so good. As we look, at least for my vote, as I looked at the overall potential for economic development, both from the casino itself, the amenities, the location, what it could do in the future, how it could support some ancillary businesses around it, I just thought it had a slight edge over some of the other proposals. It was slight because these were all such good proposals. And I would agree, there's a lot of disappointed people, there's happy people, but at the end of the day, when this facility gets built, and we're talking about a $118 million facility in Sioux City, it's going to be very good for the community. We're going to see a significant increase in the revenue that it generates, both for the state of Iowa in tax dollars and for the local nonprofit. But it just was a very, very difficult process.
Dave Dreesen, I understand one of the other competitors for this license was Penn National Gaming Company, which submitted two of the other of the four proposals. Penn is the current owner and operator of the Argosy Sioux City Riverboat Casino. So it couldn't reach an agreement with the Missouri River Historical Development Organization, a nonprofit. What's the story behind there? Explain that to our listeners who live outside of your area.
Okay, well, just to give you a little background, the Missouri River Historical Development, you know, Iowa has a unique law in which a local nonprofit in the county that authorizes gambling through a referendum jointly holds a state license with the casino operator. So Missouri River Historical Development, or MRHD for short, has been the nonprofit in Woodbury County since began riverboat gambling here in 1993. Penn National Gaming, they acquired the boat in, I believe it was 2005, and they inherited the existing contract to the operating agreement with MRHD. That came up for renewal this last year, 2012, and they were not able to work out, ultimately, after months of talk, work out in a long-term extension, which would have included a land-based casino. And after that happened, as Jeff knows, the issue was plopped on the door of the commission, and had to make a decision how to proceed, and decided to treat it as almost like a new license, and put up the land base license for bid, inviting any operator or nonprofit to apply.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Lamberti, the fact that the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission decided which entity would be granted the concedo license is somewhat unique, or not?
No, what was unique about this situation, I think, is to have so many applicants in one location. You know, in the history, typically what you will see is, you know, you have a county pass a referendum, and then you have one applicant in that county, and the commission is deciding amongst different counties. This was a little unique because we put, you know, a county that had an existing facility, and we said we're going land-based, and we put it up, and then had to choose among various applicants. So a fairly unique set of circumstances that I think the commission hopes never is repeated. We wanted to go land-based there. We knew we were going to go land-based. We were disappointed that there couldn't be an agreement between Penn and MRHD. But at the end of the day, the commission decided that they couldn't get it done, and so we were going to, and we did, and it's going to be a very nice facility for them.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dave Dreesen, business editor for the Sioux City Journal. We'll be following your developments, but thank you for this conversation.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you.
And let's turn to Tom in Iowa City, who's been listening to this discussion about casinos, about gambling in Iowa, before we move on to our next location. Tom, what's your question?
Well, Ben, I was wondering, I may have missed it since I didn't catch all of the program, and I apologize if I did miss it, but Mrs. Geddes was at once alluded to the taxpayers' liability. I am curious to know if any of these institutions go down the drain or go bankrupt. Will the Iowa taxpayer or county taxpayers or city taxpayers be liable for any of the losses, or will only the investors be liable?
Okay, Tom, great question. Let's toss that to Jeff Lamberti.
Yeah, well, first I would start with the idea that we have not had a history in Iowa of facilities having real financial problems. We had a company, a more national company, that owned one of our facilities that went into bankruptcy, but it really ultimately didn't affect our particular facility. Because of the system we have, they tend to be profitable, and obviously you can stay in business when you are. For the most part, the taxpayers are not on the hook in any way. However, there are some, such as the Sioux City proposal, where the city has agreed to use some TIF financing for some of the infrastructure improvements that will go along with the casino.
That's tax incentive financing, is that right?
Tax increment financing,
increment,
correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the likelihood that they're going to have a negative consequence before the TIF financing is paid off is probably pretty small based on history that we have in Iowa. But most of our facilities are constructed solely at the expense of the operator, of the developer. So there's not a lot of exposure across the state for either the localities or the state of Iowa.
Okay, Tom, thank you for that great question from Iowa City.
Mm-hmm.
And let's finish up by turning to our eastern seaboard, riverboard, let's call it that, to the Davenport case, one of the very earliest sites of riverboat gambling in Iowa after it was put through the legislature, allowed in that vote in 1989, the first gambling sites on riverboats in the early 90s. Joining us now, Kurt Allmeyer, a reporter for the Quad Cities, Quad City Times. Hi, Kurt.
Hello.
Give us a thumbnail sketch of what's been happening with casinos there lately.
Well, the thumbnail goes back a few years. The city has shown frustration with the owner of the casino riverboat here, owned by the Isle of Capri, feeling that the license has underperformed. The city has gone out to try, has been very aggressive in trying to find someone who's come in, buy the casino from the Isle of Capri, and build a land-based casino.
Okay, so what's been happening now? The idea is to move a casino, right?
Yes, they definitely want to make it land-based. There is a land-based casino across the river in Illinois here in the Quad Cities in Rock Island. So they see that is, you know, the way to go as far as making an investment and, you know, have an significant interstate presence as well.
Mm-hmm. Explain a little bit more about the significance of being along the interstate. It may seem self-evident, but what difference can that make?
It's traffic, simply. There was a large debate that showed, you know, between whether or not it should be downtown, which really doesn't have very good interstate access, to the interstate, which is in the north part of the city. And they did some number crunching. Back as the city, you know, made an effort to try to acquire the casino boat itself, as to what the best location was, and a casino consultant basically said, "You want to be on the interstate? That's where the money is."
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, what would happen to the downtown? There must be fears there that if it's moved out, there would be consequences.
There's been some wringing of hands, but you know, I think the casino has done a pretty good job of helping to kind of revitalize the downtown, but I think they see the future of a casino here in Davenport as being along the interstate at this point.
Okay. Jeff Lamberti, what is the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission's view on what's happening in Davenport? What are you considering there?
Well, what I do know is I'm not exactly sure what the time frame is, but I'm fairly confident that there will be a land-based facility in Davenport and that it will, in fact, be on the interstate. And I only speak for myself. I'm only one vote. But we do agree that moving out to the interstate is the place to be. When the new facility opened on the other side of the river that was land-based, that was on the interstate, we lost a significant market share in that area. And as a commissioner, I'm more concerned than just about that location. I got to look at the state as a whole. And we think we can be much more competitive there. And we also think that will benefit the nonprofit. And we are perfectly happy with the nonprofit investing all of their proceeds into downtown. We think that's an appropriate thing for them to do. We just feel strongly that we need to be on the interstate. There's been a lot of twists and turns in terms of allowing the city to have an option or an opportunity to try to go out and find a developer, a operator, or do it themselves. And now we're kind of back to where it's in the hands of Isle of Capri, and the commission has indicated to them we want them to move forward, whether they would do it themselves, whether they would enter into some kind of joint venture or sell. There's several options on the table, but the commission wants them to proceed so that we can move forward on getting a land-based facility there in Davenport.
Mm-hmm. In your reporting, Kurt Allmeyer, what is your view on the community's feelings about these various options?
When the city made known that they wanted to try to acquire the casino, there was the business community really kind of rose up. Letters to the editor posed it. Early on, the only real comments were, well, we want to keep it downtown, and that eventually changed. The city, you know, relented and left it up to the Isle and the nonprofit partner, the Riverboat Development Authority, to see what they can do as far as finding a buyer and a developer for a land-based casino. The city still has a developer that it worked with that, you know, is one of the proposals that could be considered by the RDA and the Isle of Capri as a, you know, potential developer for a casino.
Okay. Let's go to this question here of cannibalization that we talked about early on. In this case, in that area, we have the casinos, Rhythm City Casino, Davenport. We have in Bettendorf, the Isle Casino Hotel in Bettendorf. We also have, let's see, the Wild Rose Casino and Resort up in Clinton. But then across the river in Illinois, we have some too. Jeff Lamberti, how do you see the picture there of business being eaten into to no one's advantage?
Yeah, we don't see cannibalization as being quite the issue when we have existing facilities that we're trying to encourage to move from boats to other land-based locations, because we already have, they're already in the market, and we think we're going to generate a lot of the new revenue is revenue that's not coming from other facilities. And so the commission has generally taken the approach that if an existing facility wants to move from a riverboat to a land base, that we're going to encourage that for a lot of other reasons, like the competition we're seeing on the other side of the river. In this particular location, we also would like to kind of get ahead of the game of having Illinois put a facility on I-80 on the other side of the river. So cannibalization in that particular market is going to be less of a concern than it would be in a brand new market.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about, you know, we've connected gambling with casinos, but also with riverboats, for so long in Iowa, because the legislature dictated that would be the only place for gambling initially in Iowa. Are there any advantages to having casinos on riverboats? Jeff?
Actually, to be honest with you, I don't see any real competitive advantages in the market. Now, we as a commission understand that with some of our facilities in smaller areas that started as boats, there's probably not a market to force them to try to move to a land-based facility. And so we're not going to do that in certain markets. But if you look at what the people are demanding now, of these facilities, they're entertainment facilities. They're not just casinos. And so you have lots of nice restaurants. You have entertainment. As we heard, you know, some have bowling alleys. Some have nice concert halls. And so those are things that riverboats simply can't do because of being on a boat. Now, some have done it on land around them, and that's okay. But I'm not sure there's really any romantic draw left. I mean, I know there are some who really enjoyed that period, but in the scope of the bigger marketplace, you're going to get eaten alive if that's how you're building your business model.
Okay. I guess I was just wondering also, maybe you don't know, but in that discussion in the 80s about riverboat, about gambling, whether Iowa would have it at all, and then the decision to go to riverboat gambling, how was that compromise reach? Do you know any of the thinking that went behind it?
Well, I don't know all of the history, because it did predate my time in the legislature by a few years. But my take on it was there was some of that returning to the, you know, historic side of the riverboats, and that it'd be great for tourism, and that it was, for lack of a better term, kind of quaint. And then we also paired that up with the limits on gambling. And so I think it was a way for Iowa to enter the world of gambling with kind of acting like we really weren't, you know, that it was about riverboats and it was about cruising on the river and a history and nostalgia. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we'll let some gambling, but we're going to put limits on it. Mm-hmm. And so I got to tell you, it's really evolved from where we started. But I think it was kind of a way that they could convince themselves to get into the business without, you know, fully jumping off the cliff right into full-blown casino gambling where we are today.
Kurt Allmeyer.
If I could throw out one disadvantage to riverboats, the Rhythm City Casino here in Davenport closed this morning because the Mississippi River is 2.5 feet above flood stage. So they had to close down. So that casino is no longer open for the time being.
Mm. Interesting. Back to that original thinking about why put it on riverboats. You know, Iowa's geography, we're bordered on the east and west by these great rivers. I suppose it was a good way to also, in a charming way, try to siphon some revenue from our neighboring states, right, Jeff Lamberti?
Yeah, I think that was correct. And quite frankly, we still look to that. I know our neighboring states may not like that very much. But if you look at where a lot of our successful casinos are located, it has a lot to do with, can we draw across the border? Council Bluffs would be our best example, where we have three facilities and they draw heavily from Omaha. Sioux City, obviously draws. We've got a facility up in Larchwood in northwest Iowa that draws from Sioux Falls. And so while it started as that riverboat on the two rivers, a big element is how much can we draw from out-of-state residents as well.
What about because smoking is allowed in Iowa casinos? Does that give Iowa casinos a competitive edge? Not much time here, Jeff.
Yeah, it really does in those border communities, and I'm basing that really on what the evidence shows from those operators. It does give us a competitive advantage.
Okay, Jeff Lamberti, thank you very much. Chairman of the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission, joining us this hour for an update on the casino landscape in Iowa. Jeff, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And also thank you, Kurt Allmeyer, for taking the time out of your day as a reporter for the Quad City Times to talk about the situation there. We appreciate it.
Sure, thank you.
River to River is produced by Sarah Bowden, Emily Woodbury, and Ben Stanton. Technical support from Dennis Reese in Des Moines. Help from John Pemble. The executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows is Catherine Perkins. Just ahead in 2 minutes, live coverage from NPR. Science Friday not being fed today. Live coverage of the breaking news situation in Boston. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.